Joining us live at the broadcast table backstage in my barbecue, Chris Jericho Fozzy.
I always love the voice, the radio voice. Like I do that? It too. Yeah. Here we are, WMMR, MM Barbecue, ready to rock today.
You are hired.
93.3.
Actually, don't do that because my boss is around here somewhere. I'll probably give you my job.
I went more for a smooth jazz thing. Smooth jazz, 93.3.
Or like the old 70s DJs.
I know, right?
It'd be like, here's a song from Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
You just want to have sex with the voice. You don't even want to just leave the Emerson, Lake, and Palmer alone.
Right.
And just keep talking.
Right.
Because no one's having sex to Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
That's right, right.
Unless you're highly stoned.
My parents might have had sex to Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
You might be an ELP baby.
I might have been conceived.
Are you an ELP baby?
I might have been. Might have been.
Things you never thought you'd kick off the conversation with Jericho.
From the beginning.
A deep dive into Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
Right, right. So you guys were just here like 6 months
ago? We were.
Right?
It's interesting because that was Rock Allegiance.
Yeah.
Then this is like in Camden, New Jersey, right? Now, being from Canada and living in Florida,
You
don't know the close proximity of one and the other. So we know WMMR is based in Philly.
Yeah.
Huge supporter of Fozzy. Did a great job in helping us really get to the next level with Judas. So it's like WMMR wants you to play their festival. Awesome. Where is it? BBT, you know, Pavilion. Great. And then it's like the same one. Wasn't that in Jersey? Aren't we in Philly? And then realized that, like, I could throw a rock and hit Philly from here, too.
We call it Camdadelphia.
Camdadelphia.
Camdadelphia,
right. Fill it in.
And it's funny, too, because, like, the Jersey people get pissed off when you go out there and you go, what's up, Philadelphia? Because you
it's Jersey.
And they're like, we're in Jersey.
It's like 3 feet either way.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like Tijuana and San Diego.
That's
you just
it,
cross
right,
the
right.
state line and you're right there.
Yeah, you got it. So I got to start with this. How long has... I was looking at the discography of this band. You guys have been around doing this thing for a long, long time.
Yeah, we started... our first record came out in 2000. And it was, you know, it's one of those things where we were doing other things. We always wanted to kind of work together.
Yeah.
And so... 2000 to 2010 was very sporadic. It was fun. We did some touring, did some records. But 2010 is when we decided, let's really go full on with this. We think we can really make something of this rather than just a fun thing. And it's still fun, but let's see how far we can go because we believe we have the potential to do a main stage at MMRBQ and to play, you know, sold out House of Blueses and those sort of things. And that's when the band really, to me, kicked in and really started, was 2010. So here we are in 2019, and like I said earlier, Judas, the album, came out in 17, and that was what really opened a lot of doors for us. Three top 10 singles, getting so much great support from great radio stations like yours. Because what people say if they don't know, oh, rock radio is dead. Hmm. That is not the case.
No, not in Philly.
Not across America. Right. Yeah. Rock radio is very, very important to having success and growing as a band.
Yeah.
And you only say rock radio doesn't matter if your band isn't doing
just
anything.
If your band sucks.
I'm saying that it does make a difference, which is why we're here. We're not on tour right now. We've been off since December.
Yeah.
But when we have the offer to come play here, obviously we need to do
so we come. What flipped that switch? Like when you decided... Nah, this is going to go beyond fun. Let's actually pursue this.
I just think we were just recording a record and just going, all this stuff is so great.
Right.
And, you know, Rich was in a band called Stuck Mojo that kind of was ending the end of the line. I was kind of ending my career as a full-time wrestler, knowing that you just know deep down inside. I mean, I've been a musician since I was 13.
Yeah.
This is we have a chance for this. Like, we've been around. We've toured. We've played festivals. We see other bands. And you have to understand when you play, it's not arrogance. It's confidence. My band's better than that band.
Yeah.
My band's better than that band.
Yeah.
You don't say it out loud, but you think that and then realize we could really do something with this. Because that band was in the main event slot at whatever festival. And they were loose. They had no connection with the crowd.
Right.
They might have some hit songs, but they're not doing it. This is not good.
Yeah.
And sooner or later, this band is not going to be headlining. They're going to need other bands to be building to that position. Let's really go for this.
Right.
And that, I think, was the real catalyst for it, was having this belief and confidence that we could do more with this.
Sure.
But how far can we go?
Right.
And we're still figuring it out. We're still growing and growing and growing every single record and every album.
And with your hand in so many things with the two careers, do you have... How do you...
Well, not really, because
I'm pretty busy, man.
Well, yeah, but I'm not full-time wrestling or even close to it. I mean, last year on the Judas Rising tour, we did 165 shows from May of 17 to December of 18. And in that time, I only had 5 matches.
Yeah,
that was just working in Japan, only because it was a cool opportunity.
Sure.
I had no intention of really wrestling during that time because we were so busy with Fozzy playing in, I think it was 23 different countries or whatever it was. So, I mean, it's one of those things for the last, I think, since 2010, if I wrestle, it's in between tour cycles.
Yeah.
Because we've been putting so much focus into Fozzy.
So when you're on the road, and it's, as you know, the road can be tough, and this is what you're eating, catering behind us. How do you stay in
shape? This is actually pretty good catering.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. But, I mean, where do you find the time to, like, work out and stay in shape and stay on top of your game?
Here's the thing.
Just physically.
When you put on a show like we put on, which is a very high-energy, high-intense show, lots of moving and running and jumping.
Sure.
And that's your workout for the day. Like I was thinking today, should I go work out? I was like, I got to work out for 45 minutes. No, 55 minutes later tonight. Right. That's the workout. You're covered in sweat.
Yeah,
you're just drained afterwards. And then, like you said, how do you eat properly? Like anybody does.
Yeah.
I mean, this catering here, there's chicken, there's some salad. You're fine.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you have to go to a gas station at 2:30 in the morning, go for the cold cut section, not for the McDonald's section.
So what you're saying is self-discipline.
It's not hard to do if you want to do it, exactly.
Right.
So that always makes me, when people go, how do you stay in shape? You just have to want to do it.
Right.
You know, how do you breathe air? Well, you take a breath in and you blow it out and you keep living.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
You were at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony this year, weren't you?
Yeah, I usually go every year.
I was there,
too. Were you there?
Yeah, I was back in the press room, but what a year to be there.
It was a blast.
Stevie Nicks and Def Leppard.
You know what's funny? I love going to those because I always get appreciation for some of the bands that I weren't expecting.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously a big Def Leppard fan and a big Stevie Nicks fan, but I had never really seen The Cure.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, I know The Cure, the songs. They were awesome.
Yeah. They kicked ass.
Like, they might have been the best band on stage.
Yeah.
And then The Zombies, who we know she's not there in time of the season, but to see them playing, and then you realize, oh, that's the guy who also sang Hold Your Head Up, and they played that song, too. It's funny, because we were on the floor, and when The Zombies walked by, it's like, I'm the Zombies! I fought The Zombies! Hey! I don't know any of the names of the Zombies.
Right.
I don't know if they walked up to me, but at the time, it was like I was the biggest Zombies fan on the planet.
In that moment.
That once again, because it's a celebration of everything rock and roll. And I love going to that because every year it's so much fun to be a part of this historical moment.
Right.
Yeah, and it's different from other award shows because, say, the Grammys, for example, they're looking at your accomplishments just in the past year. The Rock Hall is cool because they're looking at your entire career as a band.
Well, yeah, and it's also has rock and roll. The Grammys doesn't have really rock and roll in it too much anymore, right?
That's a whole different discussion for another
sure
time.
Sure it is. And like I said, that's fine, but the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it's such a hot button subject. You can gather 10 music fans or 3 music fans and say, okay, who should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that's not? Who's in that shouldn't be in there? Debates for ages.
Yeah.
And that's the secret and crux of being a music fan is you just love talking about music. And the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you got 15,000 people who feel the same way.
Yeah.
So you're quite the orator. If you could induct anyone into the Rock Hall, who would it be?
I mean, for me, the glaring omissions from the Hall of Fame, from a heavy metal standpoint, Scorpions need to be in there.
Oh, yeah.
Ozzy as a solo artist, but that's not as bad as he's in with Sabbath, but he needs to be in there. Judas Priest. But to me, the biggest one that's just a complete ridiculous is Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
Still playing stadiums and sold out arenas worldwide. Never stopped doing it for 40 years. One of the most loyal fan bases of all time. Rivaling only Metallica and sometimes beating them as to who's the biggest heavy metal band on the planet. Problem is, they're not critics' favorites. They never have been.
Yeah.
They need to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame tomorrow, and I'd be the perfect guy to induct
Aren't
them.
Aren't you going to play a show with him?
We are.
Coming in September, right?
In September at the Bank of California Stadium in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about the best day, one of the best days of my life. We were in New Zealand on tour.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you wake up at 5 a.m. because you're jet lagged. I check my emails. I have an email from Rod Smallwood, who's the manager of Iron Maiden. Mm. He goes, we're doing a show in September. Do you want to play on it in Los Angeles? And I said, who's we? And he's like, Iron Maiden, you idiot. Like, I was saying, like, which other band do you, like, you can't be talking about Iron Maiden. He's like, no, Iron Maiden. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Having no idea where it's going to be, I think maybe the Staples Center or the Forum, you find out, no, it's actually in the stadium.
Wow.
And then about 6 hours later, I get an email offering me a part in the new Jay and Silent Bob movie.
Yeah, I saw Kevin Smith. Yeah.
So it's like I get a gig opening for Iron Maiden and I'm in the new Jay and Silent Bob movie in the same day.
Yeah, everything's coming up
in
Jericho.
New Zealand on tour. Yeah, exactly. It was a good day.
Yeah. Love it.
You got some good karma, man. You
I think I stepped in a pile of bird crap after that, but it was a good day for those few hours.
That's right. It's worth it. It's worth it. Any bands you're excited to see play today?
Well, I mean, obviously, we've toured with Shinedown before. They're a great rock and roll band. We saw them yesterday in Virginia Beach at the Lunatic Luau that we did. Great friends, great guys. I'm excited about the Struts because I've never seen them live. I've heard a lot about them.
Good.
And then, of course, I bet you every person in the joint is talking about Joan Jett.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because that's a rock and roll legend.
Yeah, legend.
Hall of Famer.
Yep.
Her dressing room is right beside ours.
Is it really?
I maybe might knock on the door later to get denied access to say hi, but... I think just to be able to get a chance to see her. I've seen her a bunch, but to be on the same show, it's one of those moments where you take a picture of the listing of the night, and it's like Fozzy at 4:30,
right,
and Joan Jett's at 5:30, right after us. So.
Yeah, I think you'll enjoy the Struts, too. That's another band we've been with from the beginning.
Because it's just a pure rock and roll band, good
really
time
good
band.
Live,
and it's funny because a lot of people will say, Fozzy, you guys just play this style of rock and roll where people are just having fun. It's like, well, that's what rock and roll is supposed to be.
We should be entertained at
a
show.
And that's the thing. We don't have a problem with it. Right. We're going to ask you to clap. We're going to ask you to jump up and down. We're going to ask you to chant Fozzy. And every time people do it because they want to have a good time and be a part of the show and be involved.
We were just having a conversation about that the other day. It might have been, I think it was Bill and I over here. And the band will remain.
I know Bill.
The band will remain unnamed.
What's up, Bill?
I was saying we were having a conversation about about bands entertaining people on stage. And I said the band will remain unnamed, but we were talking about a band that a ton of hits and they went out there and they were just boring.
Yeah.
Dude. They were flat.
There's one band, I mean, I don't even want to say it because I'll get in trouble for it. It'll be a blabbermouth headline.
Right.
There's one band that's one of the biggest rock and roll bands in American history. The lead singer is one of the best ever, and the other four guys are basically one step from just sitting down on stage. I never understood that. Like, we are Van Halen in 1979.
Yeah.
We want people to have a good time, and whatever that takes, it's okay to crack a joke on stage. Yeah. It's okay to smile. It's okay to have a beer and, flash your boobs if you're a girl or a guy.
Right,
we don't care.
Yeah.
Just have a good time, especially on a summer's day here, in Philadelphia, Camadelphia, on a day like this. So I think that's very important because for a long time that kind of drifted away where it became very much of an angst and teenage issues and politics. And that's all important. But when you come to our show, we're not going to talk about the plight of the Aboriginal natives and the Australian outbacks. Yeah. We're just going to...
And that's how you gain fans. Look, there are going to be a lot of people out there who have never seen you live, maybe even never heard a Fozzy song. And they're going to leave here and they're going to go... Holy crap.
Well, that's the key.
That's
when you play your own headlining shows, you're preaching to the choir. It's a great time.
Yeah.
It's shows like this where you gain fans and you'll see people kind of like, why is this guy chanting Fozzy? Who is this? And he's jumping up and down and she's clapping
and
her hands. Well, maybe I should do it too. And at the end, we did a show in San Diego with a band called Iced Earth.
Yeah.
And the reason why is we had a gig and they had a gig. And sometimes, very smartly, promoters will combine the two so you're not really competing with each other. Now, Iced Earth is more of a power metal band.
Sure.
And we're more of, like I said, a Van Halen fun type band. There was guys when we came on stage looking at us like we had three heads that halfway through the set wearing their Iced Earth jerseys and jackets were clapping and chanting Fozzy and
the
Iced Earth, kill the dragon t-shirt or whatever it was. And it's like that's the true and then when Iced Earth came, had a great time as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's the cool thing. When you go to a show, just have fun.
Yeah.
That's why we're here.
Yeah.
Every band on this bill today is here, personally chosen by this station. So you know that they're good in one way or another. So if you don't know them, give them a chance.
And that crowd's going to feed off your energy. They really
absolutely
are.
Yeah, people want to have a good time.
That's awesome.
That's the secret of rock and roll.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time to stop by and chat with us, man.
Hey, man, like I said, anytime
I'm looking forward to your set now than I was. So.
Thank you. I hope so. The worst part of it is, as I've been promoting this, I can't say MMRBQ. I keep getting tongue-tied. MMRBQ.
You could just say, what's the guy from Ghost? I hope you're having a great barbecue.
Yeah.
It was like, wow.
Last year, Joe's
barbecue. Was on. 1-2 barbecue, is my friend Vinny.
There
Paul
you go, perfect.
Say. That's what I'm going to say today.
There you go.
That's my stage banter in honor of Vinny, for sure.
Awesome. Very cool. Fozzy on stage this afternoon. We're live backstage.
4:30. I know
baby.
The time.
4:30. So if you're sitting out in the parking lot listening to us right now, get your ass in here. 4:30 this afternoon.
Chris Jericho. Bring us some beer.
Yeah. Thanks for stopping by, man. Appreciate it.
Cheers, man.
Thanks.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.